Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I am your host, Walter. Now, I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Because spring training is underway. Teams, players have reported, and games start on Friday. That means that we're inching closer and closer to the start of opening day, April 7th. I cannot wait for that and to get you all jacked up for it. This man needs no introduction. The voice of the San Francisco Giants pregame, Marty Lurie, will be joining me on this episode of the podcast to talk everything orange and black, what they have, what they need, how they build on a phenomenal, a historic season in 2021 with 107 wins to hold off the Los Angeles Dodgers. Plenty of free agent talk, plenty of discussion. We have rule changes also. We're going to touch on all of that with Marty Lurie coming up next. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. Now, my next guest needs really no introduction. In fact, when you start to hear his voice on the radio, you know baseball is right around the corner. The voice of the San Francisco Giants pregame, you can listen to him every Saturday and Sunday on KMBR 104.5 and 680. Mr. Marty Lurie. Marty, how you doing down there in the desert?
Well, we're doing fine. We got baseball down here, and the first game is coming up. So things are pretty good down here in Arizona. I know the fans are excited, and they want to come down and see some baseball. So these next few weeks are going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm really excited to finally have some actual games, because this off season we've just talking speculation and what could possibly happen and everything. Now we have baseball going to be played in front of us in a couple of days on Friday. So we're all anticipating, a really good season for the Giants following up that 107 win season from last year. But we still have dominoes that need to fall, Marty. A lot of free agents still out there on the market. Do you foresee the Giants going after any of these big name guys?
I think so. And, they need a hitter. And I think everyone agrees upon it, to take Posey's spot in that batting order. But what they've got coming back, they've got a couple of older players, and Ruff and Belt and Crawford. Flores, you can even put him in that category as well. And then you've got some younger players, and I say younger for Yastrzemski with life experience in baseball, in the big leagues not that much, and Wade. And they sort of regressed last year. So there's some challenges on the offensive side for the Giants. LaStella is still hurt, and he's really never shown anything that they thought he could do. So I think they do need a hitter. Now, whether they're going to go out and spend the money for Suzuki or Freddie Freeman or Correa, I don't think so. That's not the way Farhan does business, because those guys are going to get 5 to 7 year contracts, and Farhan is adamantly opposed to those long-term contracts. At least he has been so far. But the other Castellanos is out there. Schwarber is out there. Chris Bryant is out there. Trevor Story is out there. And those are players that you could see when the market settles and all of a sudden, there's a week to go before the season starts and they're still not signed. Well, then the deals can be made, whether maybe it's a one-year deal or a two-year deal. And I get the feeling the Giants could be waiting on that for the hitter. Now, pitching-wise, they went out and made their mark right away, and they got the best free agent pitcher on the market, and that's Carlos Rodon. And, of course, we know he comes with some issues, shoulder fatigue last year, and really hasn't thrown a lot of innings in the last few years. But the stuff is dynamic. Ethan Katz was the pitching coach, or is the pitching coach, for the White Sox, formerly with the Giants, so I'm sure he gave him a ringing endorsement, or else the Giants wouldn't have gotten involved with him. And we've got Jacob Junis, who is a hard-throwing 31-year-old. I believe he's about 30, 31. He has an option remaining, which is a huge, huge thing for any player, because you can option someone, bring him back 5 times during the year. You know how Farhan loves to do that with the bullpen. And then maybe the wild card is Carlos Martinez, who was a very, very effective pitcher for the Cardinals 2015 through about 2017, 2018, 2019. They moved him to the bullpen in 2019, and he had a lot of saves, big arm. And then he kind of fell off the cliff with injuries and then just getting blasted, and he kind of lost his composure. So big arm is there, and if he makes the club, he'll have a nice major league contract with incentives. So point being that Farhan jumped on the pitchers right away. He's got a ton of relievers. He's got many, many minor league free agents in camp, and he can go through so many pitchers and find the ones that fit. So pitching-wise, he didn't hesitate. He jumped, and Rodon is a two-year, $22 million a year. Rodon did a very smart thing in coming to the Giants. It's a rehab center for pitchers that need to reestablish their market. It's a great park to pitch in. It's an excellent team to be on. If he has a great year, he opts out after 1 year. Scott Boras made sure of that. And then he's back on the market. If he has a so-so year or some injuries, Giants are on the hook for another $22 million next year in 2023. So for the Giants, it's a risk worth taking to get an arm like this. And if he stays 2 years, believe me, they'll get enough innings out of him. They don't need 7 innings to start. They just need 5. And if he can handle the National League West as a lefty, the more power to him. So Farhan jumped on the pitching. And now for the hitting, I think we have to wait till the market settles a little bit.
Now, you bring up Carlos Rodon, and are they done going after pitching? Because their rotation is pretty set, but you know that Farhan always harps on pitching depth, and that's what you get. And he has said multiple times this year and even last year, he wants to put together a staff that will get you 162, not necessarily every fifth day.
Well, he's got Greinke out there, but right. I just don't see Greinke fitting in. I mean, he's going to want to pitch. They've got Alex Cobb, who's coming back. Of course, an injury there. They've got Logan Webb. They've got Di Sclafani. They've got Alex Wood. Now they've got Rodon. They've got perhaps Carlos Martinez. They got Junis. They've got Tyler Beede kicking around. They've got Sammy Long still out there. So he kind of would like it. And then, of course, Carlos Martinez, you don't know where he's going to fit in at all. He's getting pretty close to enough starting pitching. Would he like another one? Maybe, but it would have to be it wouldn't be a big ticket item at all, because I think he's got his rotation down right now, and I think he's going to let it play out. So my answer is I don't think we'll see another pitcher. Maybe a reliever here and there, but I think the pitching staff they're pretty happy with it right now.
We're talking with Marty Lurie, the voice of the San Francisco Giants pregame show. You can listen to him on KMBR 104.5 and 680 throughout the year on Saturdays and Sundays before the game. Marty, I want to get back to a little bit of what we talked about earlier was the hitting opportunities, the players that are out there still. Kyle Schwarber, you mentioned, Nick Castellanos, Siya Suzuki. There's a ton of them still out there. And, it doesn't necessarily matter whether it's a lefty or a righty. I would prefer a right-handed hitter in the lineup, just because they do have their share of lefties already. But Farhan has already said that he's looking for someone that fits the mold of the club and that can be productive. Do you think that Kyle Schwarber is a real play for the Giants, because he's not necessarily the most versatile player out there, because they are looking for versatility as well? But do you think Kyle Schwarber is really in the cards for the San Francisco Giants, because he's mainly a DH at this point in his career?
Well, I agree with you. You could put him out in left field. You could put him at first base, but he's got a good eye in the strike zone, and he's got legitimate power. And let's face it, when you're a left-handed hitter in this park with that kind of power, that wall is not that far away.
Right.
So I kind of like Schwarber. I think Flores can DH, but they're going to have to find somebody to play second base with Tommy La Stella.
Right.
So maybe Flores will DH a little bit. Maybe he'll play some second base. I like Schwarber, but you're right. He's limited. It's first base, DH, or left field. That's it for him. So if he platooned in left field with Ruff, not the end of the world that they could do that. They could even platoon a little bit at DH if he wanted to do that. So we'll see. But it's a good point about Schwarber. Doesn't have the versatility that Farhan really, really likes. That's been the rap on Castellanos as well,
right,
that they don't feel he'd be comfortable in right field here. But he's a heck of a hitter. The one I like is Suzuki.
Yeah.
And he's being courted by every day. It's he's going to sign with somebody else.
A new team's in there, yeah.
Right. San Diego. He's signed with San Diego. And then he says, no, I haven't. And he's meeting the Cubs. So this is a good-looking player. He's a big guy. And he can play right field. He can hit with power. He's a right-handed hitter. Out of this whole crowd of people, they're not going to get Correa unless the market completely tanked for him. But where are you going to put him? You've got Longoria and Crawford on that side of the infield. They're not going to get Freddie Freeman. So if I had to drop down, I think Suzuki would be my wish list. I'd like to see him.
Yeah, that's the talk. I feel like a lot of Giants fans are pulling for a Suzuki signing. We'll see what happens. Like you said, it was being said that the Padres signed him, and then he came out and social media said, no, I haven't made a decision yet, and he was meeting with the Cubs last night. We'll see who he meets with in the coming days. I believe he's in Arizona right now, currently getting ready, but I'm not exactly sure on that. I know he met with Darvish not too long ago with his family. I believe they have the same agent, but I'm not 100% mm-hmm. sure.
San Diego, obviously, Darvish with the Padres.
Right. Yeah, so you have that connection there. You know, the reason why I bring up all these big-name hitters and why a lot of people are pulling for getting a big-name hitter, a slugger in the lineup, is the loss of Buster Posey. I mean, you can look at it at multiple ways. The loss of Buster Posey behind the dish and also at the plate is going to be a huge loss for the San Francisco Giants. That's why I feel like they need to get a bat to supplement that loss, because, you know, there's a lot of speculation on whether Joey Bart is ready to take that responsibility. Offensively, he looks like he can be there, but you know, there's still the question of whether he can call an effective game. What do you think is in store for Joey Bart going into this year?
Well, I think they'll give him every chance to get that job. I remember Cueto didn't want to pitch to him.
Yeah.
And he really struggled calling a game. He had a lot of pass balls, catcher's interference, and stuff like that. So they're going to give him a shot. I mean, look, he was a second pick in the country. He's not a Farhan, he's not a Farhan pick. But I think they're going to give him every chance. And he could DH too, don't forget. If right. you put Casale behind the plate and you got another catcher, and I don't know if there's room on the staff for another catcher, Bart's not a bad DH. But I think they have to develop him as a receiver. Mm-hmm. And I believe the bulk of his playing time will be catching. He's probably going to do a lot of catching down here in Arizona to get used to the staff. Though he's caught, you know, most of these guys before, except for Cobb and Rodon. He's a big-time hitter. He's a big-time hitter. There's no question. There's legitimate power there. But look, when you are on a pennant-winning team or a division-winning team or a team that wins 90, you got to have a catcher who can catch. And as Casey Stengel said, if you don't have a catcher, you got a lot of pass balls. So for Bart, he's going to get a chance, but he's got to work on that receiving.
And it's good that he has Casale there, right? Because Casale was a really good catcher, really effective last year when he would spell Buster Posey. So to have that veteran presence there to show him, guide him the way. Do you think that there's any, you know, side effects of having a lockout, not having a full spring training for Joey Bart to get used to? I know he's caught these guys before, but to not have the experience, I guess, the innings, the reps with these pitchers. Do you think that the lockout has its negative effects on Joey Bart?
Could be. Let's face it, because, you know, he was on the 40-man and they couldn't communicate with him until last Friday or Saturday. I think that's a legitimate point. Of course, being down here, you catch four or five innings and they bring somebody else in. They even bring in, you know, Patrick Bailey or someone from the minor league camp, or Godoy, who they picked up from Seattle. So I don't think he's going to have that many innings no matter what. But I agree with you. I think the more you catch the staff, the more comfortable you feel that you're the guy. And I think that's the big thing, that he knows he's the guy and he's going to call that game. I think that's the important thing, and you'd like him to get as many innings as he can down here. But it's a point well taken. Not having a full spring training down here, I think, does affect him, and we'll have to see how he starts off the season.
Well, and also, you know, just it's his confidence, right? He has to have the confidence in calling the game and knowing that he can be a big league catcher. I'm not saying that he doesn't have that confidence, but the more reps that you have is the more confidence that you build. But does that wear off, or does that come off on the pitchers at all? Do they have any second doubts on anything that Joey Bart calls, the comfortability with a Joey Bart? Because in the past years, Buster Posey was there, you know, and the pitchers didn't have to think a second thought on what the pitch was being called. They would just put their head down, as Logan Webb would say. He would put his head down, see what was called, and just throw the ball. And it's not going to necessarily be that chemistry that Joey Bart brings immediately. Do you think that that has any negative effects on the pitching staff?
It could. It could. Certainly Cueto couldn't pitch to him, and they right. couldn't have that happen. So, yeah, I think that's a point. And that's any young catcher. I don't care if it's Joey Bart or Yogi Berra or Roy Campanella mm-hmm. or, you know, no matter who, or Buster Posey. You've got to learn how to call the game, and you've got to get the confidence of your pitching staff, and that comes with time. Now, don't forget the Giants are very well scripted. They have a coach just about for every player. I mean, I've never seen a coaching staff as big as this coaching staff. So, and they've got NASA, basically, right. You know, for the analytics department. So when Joey Bart goes in the game, and the pitcher goes in the game, they know what to throw certain hitters. Now, you have to make adjustments if you see that pitch isn't there for the pitcher and another pitch is better, but that's what comes with time. But I think everything is so well scripted for the Giants that that will get them over the hump. But again, another point well taken. You've got to earn the confidence of your pitching staff, and the only way you can do that is to catch and catch winning performances.
We're talking with Marty Lurie, voice of the San Francisco Giants pregame during the regular season. Marty, we've been talking a lot about Joey Bart and some on the DH and everything like that. I want to switch the conversation over to the pitching staff, because we were talking a little bit about Logan Webb and you know, just to go back to 2021, his performance down the stretch was, if not the best pitcher in baseball. That second half was just amazing. You know, he pretty much put the Giants on his back every fifth day. Do you think that what's the expectation for going into 2022? I mean, can he sustain that second half dominance?
I think so. I think the stuff is there. I think he learned how to use it. I think Posey helped him a tremendous amount. Right. Heck, he won his last 11 decisions.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was fabulous even in the last game against the Dodgers.
Yep.
This guy has got it. He's got a great changeup. He's got a great slider. He can throw the fastball. But he's someone that the catcher does have an influence with. And that's very important. So that's going to be something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Posey, gone, Bart, and Webb, how do they work together?
Right.
Because Posey would calm him down. You know, Webb had a point there where if something went wrong, you know, you could see his face got flushed. He would be upset. That jaw would come out. And Posey would settle him down, and he'd get out of the inning and, you know, come up the next inning, get a hit. And then the Giants would go ahead, and then you couldn't touch him. So the catcher's got a lot to do with it. But the stuff is there, and it speaks for itself. I mean, 11-0 down the stretch and outstanding in the playoffs.
And that's where, you know, I kind of go back to the Joey Bart conversation and how he can, because it's a feel thing, right? I mean, that's experience. When you know when to go talk to your pitcher, when to calm him down, when you know that he's pressing and he doesn't have a pitch, you know, maybe at that point in the game, it's going to be really interesting to see the dynamic unfold. And that's definitely something that we're going to be looking for in the spring starts. We'll see who's going to play on Friday. We don't know who's pitching yet. Obviously, it's too early. We don't even know what the final rosters are going to be when we come to opening day, Marty. But sticking with the pitching staff, you did mention earlier, the Giants signed Carlos Rodon to the 2-year deal. You know, he's not going to be wearing the number 55. I think that's a good deal.
Well, there's no question. I hope no one else wears it ever.
Right.
You know, this was a fabulous young player in Lincecum.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just brought people into the park, and we all related to him. He was just the nicest kid in the world. And, boy, when he was on, when he had his years, untouchable. Just untouchable. 2-time Cy Young Award winner as well. But yeah, Rodon is not getting 55. And they're going to save that for a very special person somewhere down the road.
Right.
And who knows? They may even retire it.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I think they should retire it. Timmy Lincecum was amazing. But yeah, he won't be wearing the number 55. He's actually wearing 16. So he got that new number. Didn't even think twice about it. So I really like the guy already. He's already winning our hearts early in the spring. But I bring up that connection is because when was the last time that we had a flamethrower? Or I guess not a flamethrower, but it can hit mid to high 90s like Rodon and like early years Lincecum. Was that probably the last time that we had that type of pitcher in the starting rotation?
Well, you'd have to go back and look at the starters. But Kane brought it in the mid-90s, and then the arm trouble knocked it down for him.
Right.
But, yeah, Kane and Lincecum were right there. I mean, Vogie. Not really. Zito, not really. Cueto, Samardzija. Samardzija maybe mid-90s. But Rodon has got a slider.
Yeah.
He's had success. He's pitched a no-hitter. It's just a question of his shoulder and making sure he's healthy and not overwork him. As I said, 5 innings. Carlos, you did your job. It's been a pleasure. And now we'll start the parade of relievers. He's special, but they've had a couple of guys who threw, you know, that kind of speed. But this guy has got the slider, and he's a very tough left-handed pitcher, very tough. It's going to make life miserable for Max Muncy and Bellinger, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so, Marty. Just a few more minutes here with Marty Lurie, the voice of the San Francisco Giants pregame on KMBR 104.5 and 680. Now, Marty, we jumped right into the roster moves and the roster needs for the Giants. We didn't even talk about any of the new updated rule changes. I mean, people hearing this conversation, yes, the DH, the universal DH is here. We'll see if it's here to stay. I believe it is. I don't think it's going anywhere. But another rule change that I wanted to get into with you, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, is the expanded playoff. I am huge on playoff games. I'm more baseball, the better, in my opinion. And the new format, I don't know how to feel about it, being that it's going to be a 12-team playoff, 6 teams from each league, and the top 2 best division winners get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get past that because it just always reminds me of when the Giants were going through it. I believe it was in 2012, and they were going through it. They were going through the gauntlet in the National League, and a team that essentially got a bye for the World Series was the Detroit Tigers, mm-hmm. and they came out flat. It just did not look good. I don't know if a first round bye is a good thing at this point for the sport of baseball. It has the same format as NFL, and I believe that in the NFL that works, but I don't think it translates to MLB.
Well, it's never been good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in today's world of analytics and scientific approaches and all that, I'm sure they have ways to keep these guys very sharp. But yeah, if you win on Sunday and you start playing on Tuesday and that goes to Thursday, well, then the next series isn't going to start till Friday or Saturday. So if you're off from Sunday, you're off almost for a week. And yeah, it comes back to Colorado and Detroit and teams that have gone flat, the old Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
When the Cardinals had to play the Dodgers in a playoff, the old Boston Red Sox in 1946 had to have inter-squad games, and they were flat. In fact, Ted Williams got hit on the elbow in one of those simulated games, and it affected him the whole World Series. So you don't like players doing stuff other than in real games. So, yeah, I think it's a good point. But, you know, there's 12 teams, and the division winners get the byes. And then the other two series are three-game series,
right,
but they're all at the home park of the higher seed. So you have that going on. So it's going to be tough to win for the lower seeds. It's going to be tough to win.
Well, and it's going to be really interesting, too, because there's no reseeding like football. So,
no.
So yeah, I think it's a good concept. I think they have to fine-tune it. How about that?
Well, yeah, because the number one seed, the best team in the league, could end up playing the fourth or fifth team.
Right.
And the second best team in the league could end up playing the sixth team if that sixth team knocks off the three teams. So you probably would like reseeding, but with all the travel and hotels and everything, and there aren't many off days in this thing, you really would be challenged to reseed. They like something where we kind of know where it's going, and that's what they like.
Well, it's going to be a fun year. Baseball is going to be underway in a couple of days down in Scottsdale, all over in Florida and in Arizona. Spring training will be underway. We finally get games, Marty. I'm excited for the 2022 season to finally get underway. I was having a debate whether there was going to be games before my 30th birthday or not, and I'm pleased to know that they're going to be games opening day a month before that. So I'm happy to have baseball back.
Well, it's good. Look, we want to be talking about Castellanos, Suzuki,
right.
And Greinke,
right.
And, you know, and Lamont Wade Jr. and all that kind of stuff, and Joey Bart. Not about the CBA.
Exactly.
And not about, you know, all the writers just putting out these rumors after rumor. I felt so badly for them. They had to stand there for hours, well into the night, trying to get information. So, as baseball fans, we live for the game every day, the story, the mosaic, and the trades and the signings. So there's a good argument to say, you know, they ought to have a free agent period that's only 3 weeks every year and have everybody going nuts for three weeks as opposed to dragging it out for 4 months and having teams wait till the very end to sign people.
Right.
So maybe we did learn something, but it's good to get back to what we love about the game, that is the game itself and all the surrounding rumors. And we all want to be general managers, just as you and I have done today, and managers, as we've done today. And that's what makes baseball baseball.
I'll tell you, Marty, I haven't been as glued to social media and Twitter as much as I have in the last couple of days since free agency opened. So, yeah, maybe they're onto something. You're right.
Well, Freddie Freeman, that's the one.
Yeah, we'll see where he lands. Hopefully he doesn't end up in L.A. That would. But if he does, bring it on. Right, Marty? Bring it on. We're ready.
Look, he'll play him at first. Muncy will be the DH. And Bellinger will be in the outfield. But, you know, they still have pitching issues they've got to sort out and stuff like that. Kenley Jansen's still on the market. Yep. He hasn't been re-signed by the Dodgers. So who knows where that's going to end up. So, you know, there's a lot ahead. But that's why we love the game.
We love the game. Thank you so much, Marty, for coming on to the podcast. And I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, Walter. Anytime.
And again, that was Marty Lurie. Be sure to check out his San Francisco Giants pregame on KNBR 104.5 and 680 every Saturday and Sunday throughout this season. His first one, actually, is this weekend, and I will be joining Marty on that first show. Excited to announce that. It's always great to hear from Marty Lurie. You know, like I said, when you hear his voice, you know that baseball is right around the corner. But yes, I will be joining the pregame with Marty from time to time. Not every pregame, but from time to time, I will be joining Marty to talk some Giants baseball. So be sure to check that out every weekend, Saturday and Sunday throughout the regular season. And I'm excited and I'm thankful for that opportunity from Marty. So a lot to get into. Just gotta tell you guys right now, as we were having that conversation, me and Marty, we were talking about a lot of free agents. Well, let me tell you, there are some of them are off the board. Some of them are off the board. They have signed. Seiya Suzuki, he is now going to the Chicago Cubs on an $85 million deal. So he is off the board now. Kyle Schwarber is off the board. He is heading to the Philadelphia Phillies. And it is an average annual value of just under $20 million. Details on that deal have yet to come out, but those are two big names that are off the board that we were talking about. Nick Castellanos is still out there, still a lot of free agents. Does that shift the Giants' priority or their thinking to acquiring Chris Bryant again? Does that mean that he's coming back, or are the Giants just going to stay put? Are they going to, because they have a lot of depth. Farhan has talked about the depth of their roster so far, and he likes it. But, you know, with the departure, as we talked about earlier, the departure of Buster Posey, you just have that void of a big bat in the lineup. So for me, for many Giants fans, I think that we would like to have another bat in that lineup. So who would it be? Who do you want it to be? Do you want Chris Bryant back? Do you want to go ahead and look elsewhere in the free agent market? Do you want to look at a Freddie Freeman? I don't know if that's in the cards, but he has said that the Yankees and the Jays are likely out. And by the way, another breaking news: Matt Chapman has been traded to the Toronto Blue Jays in a massive deal for the A's. So the A's getting a lot of prospects, getting rid of their core. It's just sad over there what's happening in Oakland, as we talked last podcast with Martin Gallegos. Who do you want the Giants to go after? Do you like the Castellanos idea? Michael Conforto is still out there. There's plenty of free agents that the Giants can go get, or they can acquire someone via trade, because that is so up Farhan's alley. I mean, you remember what happened with late night Lamont. Nobody knew who Lamont Wade was prior to him getting traded over here. Does that happen again? Do they go after Anthony Statander from the Orioles, or do they even, you know, go a little higher on a bigger name on the Orioles and Trey Mancini for a DH opportunity? He can also play first base. I'm not sure if he could play outfield at all, but there's players out there. Or do they blow us away with a Trevor Story sticking him at second base? You know what I mean? So it's going to be really interesting to see what they end up doing. Jonathan Villar is out there. We know that the need is there for the San Francisco Giants at second base. Do they bring back Donovan Solano? I mean, there's a lot of players still out there. They're not as sexy as the Suzukis, not as sexy as the Schwarbers. Jock Peterson also out there, notable, who can join the San Francisco Giants, and who is a good clubhouse guy from what I've heard. So Anthony Rizzo, I believe, has signed with the New York Yankees, so he's not out there anymore. But the Giants don't really need a first baseman. So again, plenty of names out there. We're going to be following this developing story as we inch closer to the start of the regular season. But as I mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants go into the regular season with this current roster, or if they make a trade for a lower name that we don't know and they just flourish into a household name like a late night Lamont that happened last year. Because, again, tell me, did you know who Lamont Wade was prior to last year? Did you know who Mike Yastrzemski was prior to that trade? I know it's a risk. You can't always hit on all these guys, but I in Farhan we trust, right? We believe in Farhan. We believe in the system. We believe in the formula that they have in identifying who can be productive in this San Francisco Giants lineup. So we'll have to see what ends up happening as the spring moves forward. But it was a great conversation with Marty. I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation as well. Plenty more of them to come. And again, remember to check out that San Francisco Giants pregame. I will be on this Saturday, time TBD, to be determined. But go ahead and check that out as well. Appreciate the support. Everybody, I hope you guys have a good weekend. Baseball is back. We are inching closer to the regular season. Spring training games underway. Giants kick it off on Friday, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Go ahead and check that out. I believe that it's going to be televised, so make sure to check your local listings to find out where you can watch the Giants, but it'll be on KNBR. You can listen to it as well. So you guys, have a good one. Be safe. I love that we're talking baseball again. I'm excited. You should be excited as well. We'll talk next time, and hopefully we'll find out if the Giants make a move or not. Yes, the bigger names are off the board, but I do feel like something is coming. I feel like something is going to happen for the San Francisco Giants. May not be the sexy pick, but it could be the smart one. So you guys have a good one, be safe, and I will talk to you next time.